It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yay. Hey. Wow. Crazy day today. Good evening, everybody. August 28th, 2022. The Sit Down with yours truly is here live and in living color. I want to thank each and every one of you out there for joining me this evening. August 28th. Usually I look this way when we start a show, and that's always me double-checking the date before we start. Today, I could not get wrong because today is my mom's birthday. Spent a little time with her earlier. 74 years old today. 74 years young today. And, you know, very emotional day. You know, figured we'd come here, have a fun show, talk about pro wrestling and beyond. And then I see Rams fan in the live chat. His grandma passed away today. So he is hanging out tonight. Get his mind off of it a little bit. You know, just try to get a little bit of an escape. And I feel you, brother. My grandmother died in 1991. And she is on my mind all the time. I always say to myself, man, I wish my grandmother would have been able to meet her. Right up her alley. I miss my grandmother very much, but, you know, I always say this, and I say this to you, and I say it to each and every one of you out there. If you have a friend, a loved one that leaves us here physically before we all do, and they pass on, the greatest thing that you can do, two things, actually. Number one, think of the fun times. Think of the positive, because we're all going to go sometime. I mean, let's just face facts. We're all going to go. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. So, you know, we got to just remember all the good things. You'll see them again one day. I truly believe that. I'm not a very religious person anymore, even though I treat people the way I want to be treated. Always try to be kind, generous. But, you know, you will see them again. But besides keeping, you know, their memory alive and, you know, being positive, you know, live your life. Through the eyes, live their life through the eyes of yourself. You know, I can't tell you, and I've said this, and I know I've bored people to death over the years when I have said this, but to this day, I will do something, say something, and I'll have a family member say to me, that's your grandmother talking. That's your father talking. That's your mother. You know, how many, I mean, especially in an Italian household, Jesus. So believe me. There are things that I do in my life that I know have been influenced by my grandmother, influenced by my parents. You know, I am blessed to still have my mom and my dad here, but I don't take it for granted. So my thoughts are with you and for everyone out there. I'm telling you, if you keep their legacy alive, celebrate the good times, you know, and, you know, just carry their legacy on in things that you do, the best thing you could do for them. Best thing you could do for them. So, how's everybody doing? A little hectic weekend for yours truly. Now, programming note, don't forget, I will be busy next week taking care of something. So, the sit down actually will not air again until I think September 25th. So, this will be our final Sunday night together for a couple of weeks. Now, even though, you know, next Saturday I am getting married. And I'm hoping that Drew, I hope I get a text message while we're in the wedding reception. It says Drew McIntyre just won the Unified Championship. I think it's going to happen. People think I'm crazy. I think it's going to happen. I just got this feeling, this vibe. You know, look, obviously Triple H is part of the machine. He's not an outsider. He might be younger, so he relates and adapts to what wrestling is today. That is something that Vince McMahon had a very difficult time doing. I think we could all agree on that. So, but let's not forget that Triple H is part of the machine. But because he can relate to things a little bit better now, you know, I just get that vibe that if it was Vince McMahon, I could see Vince McMahon playing with people's emotions all the way to WrestleMania when it comes to Roman Reigns. But Triple H, though, I got that different vibe. I think he's going to pull the trigger. And I think this will spice up storyline. Sami Zayn costs Roman Reigns the championship. Roman Reigns, the following SmackDown, it's okay. I'll get the belts back. Don't worry about it. Maybe even a hug to Sami Zayn. And then that's it. Sami Zayn will get murdered. Maybe Kevin Owens makes the save. Maybe he doesn't do it right away. We get Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn for a little while. Then maybe Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, kind of spices things up a little bit. We get Karrion Kross taking on Drew McIntyre. Maybe Kross gets one of those belts back. Anything is possible. But, you know, that's why I think if you could have Roman drop it, drop it now. Drop it now. Him versus Sami Zayn is such a quick diversion away from the championship. We don't have to worry about Roman getting the rematch right away. That's my vibe. That's my vibe. Now, programming note. This actually has to do with what I just said. This is my schedule leading up to September 19th. Now, obviously, we did the Don Tony show yesterday. We're doing a sit-down right now. But take a note of the Friday episodes. This Friday night, September 2nd, right after SmackDown. Yes, SmackDown's already been taped. Yes, I have seen the spoilers. I will not reveal them on the shows. But right after SmackDown goes off the air, I will be here live doing a little bit of a SmackDown recap, but more importantly, doing predictions for Clash at the Castle, getting into some wrestling news. So I will be here September 2nd. And it will be a little bit of a quicker show because obviously I'm going to have a busy day September 3rd. And then the following week, September 9th, I will be here on Friday once again for the Don Tony Show. That'll be the day before I go away to Florida. So that is the schedule leading up to Monday the 19th. Now, next Monday will be a very busy show because, you know, I already posted the preview for Monday's show. This is the post Raw show that I will be streaming Monday. Yeah, if you're not aware of it tonight, the Mysterios versus the Mizanins will take place on Celebrity Family Feud. It's a lot of people who don't even know that's going down tonight. But I had a little bit of fun. I had to abbreviate the sentence as much as I could. I wanted to choose pick a three-letter word or pick something that a dad should give advice to his son and everybody would immediately think sex. Three-letter word. But Rey Mysterio with the AEW. So, yeah. So we'll have a fun show. But as I wrote in the preview, you know, this week, do you realize we have 5 go-home shows to pay-per-view / premium live events? We have 5 go-home shows this week. Raw is the go-home Raw, the final Raw before Clash at the Castle. Friday SmackDown is the last SmackDown before Clash at the Castle. AEW Rampage and Dynamite are the last 2 shows before All Out. And NXT this week is the last NXT before Worlds Collide. We got 5 go-home shows this week. I can't remember the last time we've had something like that. I don't know if we have since AEW's been in existence. Maybe there was an In Your House or something like that, but I can't remember the last time we had 5 go-home shows on 1 week. But anyway, tonight is not about that. Tonight is about me showing up with a blank piece of paper, answering your questions and comments. Obviously, you know, anybody that sends us a super chat or channel members, they get a little bit of VIP treatment. It's the right thing to do. But I will make sure before we finish the show, everybody who is live right now, everybody who is hanging out in the chat, if you have a question that you want me to answer, that doesn't require too much brain cells. You just post it in the chat, write the word question before it so I could see it clear. If you have a comment that you want me to share, just put in capital letters, comment beforehand. But before I do that, I want to share with you something that I feel is overrated and underrated. You know, every Saturday now I do my favorite and least favorite moments of the week in wrestling. And for this past week, my favorite moment was Johnny Gargano's return. My least favorite moment was Thunder Rosa's 47 seconds of time given to relinquish the women's championship compared to 10 minutes and 20 seconds for CM Punk. Total disrespect on AEW's part. But I want to share with you something. Yesterday, if you tuned into the Don Tony Show, I was very much under the weather. And I was very, very nervous that I was developing pink eye. This hurt like a motherfucker. This hurt like a motherfucker. My eye was swollen. And I was like, shit, I don't know what the fuck to do. So somebody sent me a DM yesterday and said, go to the store and pick up this. It's called Lumify. I bought it. I put drops on my eyes at least a half a dozen times yesterday. And today it feels 100% fine. So for any of you out there, if you ever have any issues, unless your eye is like swollen and red and looks like a swollen vagina, you know, go out and get this stuff. This shit fixed my eye in less than 24 hours. Lumify. Definitely underrated, underappreciated, awesome stuff. Overrated? How many of you drink Liquid Death? I have never drank Liquid Death before. And someone's like, oh, you like sparkling water? You like seltzer? Pick up a case of Liquid Death. This garbage. This shit sucks. I read reviews where people are like, this is the most amazing sparkling water, the most powerful sparkling water. I have one of those machines, you know, where you soda stream, where you make your own salsa. And me, when it says you only push the button twice, I push it six times. I push it because I want so many bubbles that the thing is about to explode. Like, if you ever heard me do a show and in the background you hear boom, that's probably my fiance hitting the buzzer too many times because we want bubbles. Lots of bubbles. This shit sucks. You open it up, literally, if you wait 15, 20 minutes, flatter. Flatter than a preteen's chest. Flat. Flat. Horrible. Sparkling water my ass. It sucks. It sucks. Oral Carter, does Liv Morgan drop the SmackDown Women's title? Or will there be some controversy with Ronda being added or interfering? Ronda Rousey will not be fighting for the women's title at Clash at the Castle. I am fine with it. SmackDown, it will explain why she will not be fighting for the women's championship. I think Liv Morgan keeps the title. When I do predictions on Friday, that is going to be my prediction. I think Liv Morgan, you know, look, her winning at Money in the Bank, dream come true, hard work paying off. You know, I still remember that night that the ridiculous IWC was saying, oh, the fans are shitting on Liv Morgan. Oh, she's going to turn heel. All the fans, you know, hey, she's being booed out of the building. That was not her fault. That's because of the finish of the match at the pay-per-view or premium live event. And guess who is writing? Who made up that decision to make her lose? Oh, well, actually win, but tap while she's winning. You know, it was foolish. You don't have your champion tap out. You know that you're going to get a rabid audience the next day. You tapped out. You tapped out. You tapped out. And Ronda Rousey is still very liked by fans. You know, she's been pushed as a babyface. You know, she doesn't have that promo ability to turn the fans against her like that. Bryan Danielson did it in AEW. That was beautiful. Some wrestlers can do that. Ronda Rousey cannot. So I think Liv Morgan needs to keep this title a little bit longer to cement her run as something not a fluke. So I say Liv Morgan retains. However, I don't know how much further she keeps the belt afterwards. So, all right. Want to give a birthday shout out to Rocky Red, who is not with us live tonight, but he sent a very generous 10 spot before he left to go to House of Glory, High Intensity tonight. And that is commentated by JD from New York and Solid Monster. Yes, they are the commentators for House of Glory. So he is spending his birthday, not here, but House of Glory. With two other podcasters. Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! I'm only kidding. I'm only joking. We're all family, man. Have an awesome time. I tell you the truth. You know, I got to get my ass out to more indie shows. I miss it, man. I miss it. And I'm still a little pissed off that a couple of indie shows, House of Glory is not one of them, let's make it clear, but three indie feds over the last 2 years, hey, DT, would you come back doing a little managing once we get a little more out of this COVID? Yeah, I'd do it. You know, yeah. Nothing. Nothing. But I hope House of Glory was good tonight. Let me know how it was. Seriously. Much love. Much love. Much love to Big Sal. Wow. Big 50 spot. I got to give him his money worth on this one. My thoughts on FTR not being in the upcoming AEW video game and an early toast to the future, Mr. and Mrs. DT. Thank you very much, Sal. I'm drinking this because I'm thirsty. It sucks. It really sucks. I just opened it literally a minute before we started the show live. There's no bubbles already. I'm looking at it. It says sparkling water. There's no sparkling. And it's not expired either. It was a fresh case. Big fail for Liquid Death. All right. No excuse for FTR not being in this video game. That goes to show you the power of the contract. See, a lot of you out there, you know, you look at AEW. And they signed contracts. And I've been talking about this since the beginning. I even said, remember last year I said 2022 is going to be the year of the contract? You know, it's not just because contracts are ending and this and that, but I said last year at least 15 times on this show that I think 2022 is really going to be the wake-up call when people really start to understand what the AEW contracts are and what they are not. And you would think Dax, Cash, you know, they left WWE. When they signed with AEW, they didn't have the momentum they ended up having. They weren't tag team of the year, weren't even close when they first signed with AEW. And you realize now, upon signing these deals, that their likeness, they couldn't come to an agreement to put their likeness in a video game. For anyone out there that thinks, oh, there just wasn't enough room to put FTR in a video game. Remember last week? I got to pull it up. It's worth it. Hey, he gave me 50 bucks, man. I think it's worth it. I put this up anyway. Remember last week I made this graphic? Can I find it? Is there any way I could find this quickly? I got to label these things a little bit better. All right, where are you? Where are you? It should be coming up any second. Usually when I need something, I can't find it. Where the fuck are you? Son of a bitch. All right, well, wait, hang on. It's coming. It's coming. I know that doesn't sound right. I got it. I got it. Here it is. Remember when I made this graphic? You know, I photoshopped it. Dax Harwood, you know. Oh, he holds three titles, IWGP, Ring of Honor, AAA, but not worthy of the AEW tag titles. Not worthy. Not worthy. And not worthy to be in an AEW video game either. He's starting to understand now, you know, this is all about people's favorites, buddies, cliques. You know, this is what AEW has been built on. You see some of the people, I have nothing against QT Marshall. You know, we joked for a couple of years, who that? But you see him, Aaron Solo, Nick Comodato, and all these others. And you're saying to yourself, how the fuck are they getting all these storylines and TV? Remember the pay-per-view banner where you had Big Show, Paul White, and QT Marshall, and they did the repose. Remember that WrestleMania banner of The Rock and John Cena? It was the same exact pose. And like, what the fuck is this? I mean, I understand why. Because QT Marshall does a shitload of work behind the scenes. But they reward each other. And this is what AEW was built on. This is why they don't do house shows, because they're not going to pay outside employees to do the extra work to tour and have people at these shows. They're not going to do that. You know, so you see this. Don't give me, oh, they couldn't put room in a fucking video game. I don't, nothing against, you know, some of the people that are featured on Elevation more than, but you're going to see other people in this game that you're going to say, the fuck is this person in this game for? And you can't put FTR in there. There is an excuse for it. But you're starting to understand now that these contracts, and look, I truthfully believe FTR is going to end up going back to WWE. I think Triple H is going to make an offer to FTR that they cannot refuse. And I would not be surprised if FTR is gone sooner than people think. Not that they're at odds with AEW. You know, don't put words in my mouth. I'm not saying that FTW has any heat with AEW. I'm sure they're probably disappointed that they're not AEW tag champs right now. Because imagine how they would be perceived if they also had the AEW tag champions. But people are so petrified to say the obvious. I posted that online. And all of the over-the-top AEW gushers that are desperate to try to rub elbows and get recognized by people within AEW, they won't fucking dare say this publicly. But the fact of the matter is, they brag about FTR holding titles, and they're not worthy enough to hold their own. That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. Imagine me, you know, having all of the, claiming all of these accolades, but the company I represent, I can't get that one. What does that show? They're not in the video game. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Bullshit. Bullshit. If it's contract related, all right, maybe FTR is a little bit smart about the amount of money that they wanted to be in this game. Oh, look, there's going to be some people that ultimately start turning on FTR. And I guarantee you those people that will dare try to turn against FTR, they're going to say, oh, they demanded too much money. They demanded too much money, and that's why they're not in the video game. You watch. See that a mile away. But there's no excuse for that. That's awful. That is awful. Okay, one fall. My thoughts about Kevin Nash answer Will Ospreay about how his merchandise sells. I don't know anything about that, but if Kevin Nash was poking fun at Will Ospreay about his merchandise sales, I don't know what his merchandise sales are. If Will Ospreay's merchandise sales are poor, I compare it to someone who performs on Off-Broadway. I've said this 1,000 times over the years. Sometimes people that perform on Off-Broadway perform better than some people who perform on Broadway. You know, I have told this story over the years so many times. I used to be a guest. Remember Horshack, Stephen DeAngelis, the announcer for ECW? You know, he did a lot of work on Off-Broadway. And I was a guest at a couple of his shows back in the day. He took me as his guest, and I sat front row, and I watched all of these people perform. Didn't know any of them. And I was like, holy shit, these people are amazing. They couldn't sell their business card to people. You know, just because someone performs amazing doesn't mean that they're a big-time merchandise seller. I don't know anybody that has Will Ospreay merchandise. I have yet to have someone on the show, I can't remember anyone, you know, that asked for a Will Ospreay shirt or anything like that. Doesn't mean that the guy is not uber talented, but, you know, if they have some heat with each other and Kevin Nash is going to merchandise card, you know, I guess, but, you know, some wrestlers out there, they're just not big top merchandise getters. You know, when you show me people and people gush, and then I see them, like I said, on Impact, and the Briscoes can't pop a rating on Impact. You know, you have other wrestlers that have showed up and they can't pop numbers at all. You know, it kind of puts it in perspective that, you know, there's a very, very small, loud noise online, but that noise is so small. But since they yell so loud, you think it's the overwhelming majority out there. You go online and you would swear sometimes Will Ospreay is the biggest fucking star, you know, that is not in the WWE or an AEW under contract. And then you realize that, you know, it might be 100 people, you know. Yeah, you might have 1,000 that'll hit the like button, but you look at the noise and it's like 100 people. And a majority of others could care less. So it's not the Bryan Danielson effect. Josh Bryan Danielson, you look at the Yes movie, you look at everything else, the guy turned into a megastar. If you want to say Bryan Danielson, when he first signed with WWE, and then he was let go and then brought back, yeah, I could see that absolutely. But, you know, it's people perceive things. That's why it's dangerous, man. That's why I said so much how dangerous it is for the last 3 years for AEW to listen to the wrong noise online, because there is without a doubt this loud noise online that AEW could do no wrong. They do 1,050,000 this past week, which is a decent number. I think I predicted 1,035,000. It was 1,050,000. But, you know, you see these people online and suddenly all is well in the world again. You know, everything is amazing. Tomorrow, on the post-Raw show, I'm going to post a graphic that Brandon Thurston worked on that I thought was tremendous. It's, you know, we're at the one-year anniversary of live fans back at wrestling shows. We're at the one-year anniversary. I bet you didn't realize that. And he showed quarter by quarter what the attendances have been for WWE and AEW. And it's very, very interesting when you see each quarter. You'll see tomorrow. And you're going to see that, you know, these people online, they could twist it and sugarcoat it and use a demo, use this to try to cover up the obvious. But at the end of the day, when you see that your attendance is down 30% over 3 months ago, and then you say to yourself, but the demo. When you see that the attendance is down 30%, do they break it down by age? No, they don't. You average 6,000 a show, now you average 4,000 a show. Do they say, well, 3 of the 4,000 are 18 to 34? Suddenly there's no demos because it's impossible to track the demos at house shows. You can't anticipate how old everybody is that's at the shows. You don't proof everybody that goes through the door so you can check the demos. But the point is, when you have 2,000 people less going to your shows, that's 2,000 customers that no longer want to buy money to see your shit. You can't say, well, the demo is only down 4%. This is why I always go by overall numbers. Every single person that is a fan is ultimately a paying fan. And that's where people get it wrong. That noise online is so dangerous when you buy too much into it. So, all right, Mohamed Soria. In my opinion, which story do I think is better? Cody getting the first title and beating Roman Streak, or Drew at the Clash? For him, it's Cody because he never won the world title. There's no reason why Roman cannot get a championship back before Mania. There's no reason why he can't have that happen. Understand that Cody was on track to become heavyweight champion. The question is Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania. Now, with the injury, that is put on pause. I still believe he'll be back in time for the Royal Rumble as long as there's no serious complications with his rehab. But no, I think Drew McIntyre winning the title right now, because remember my scenario I've been saying for a couple of weeks. If there's anybody that is going to divide the titles into two, WWE has not done a storyline at all in recent memory where Roman Reigns goes against authority. There is no storyline where Roman Reigns is butting heads with Adam Pearce. Drew McIntyre, because of his character, I have said this every single week for many, many weeks now. I could picture Drew showing up with both belts. I'm a fighting champion. I see two belts on my shoulders. I fight Raw, SmackDown, come get it. I could see Drew defending two titles against two different people, and he could lose one and win one. that I could see a likely scenario. So I believe Drew McIntyre winning a clash is my preference. Cody getting his first title win, you know, yeah, it should have happened by now. It's interesting looking back at AEW. Did he purposely put that stip? Because in the back of his mind, if I'm ever going to be heavyweight champion, it's not going to be for a new company. It's going to be for WWE or nothing. Anybody ever stop and ask yourself that? I mean, I don't think Cody would ever reveal that. But if you're so bitter that you never won the big one and you want to dedicate it to your dad, you would think with a brand new company with so much promise. Sure, they could have done a stipulation. We talked about it. Break glass. Remember the emergency storyline we talked about? They could have always done something where Cody's, you know, I adhere to all stipulations. I'm not fighting for the title. I'm not fighting for the title. And the more he says that, the more the fans online want him to fight for the title. Cody, please fight for the title. Fight for the, I can't do it. I can't do it. All right. You know, the fans keep, do you want me to do it? Yes, we want you to do it. And he does it. He wins. And then the fans say, you see, he gave up the stipulation for us. They could have done that. But they didn't. And not only did they not do it, it was never considered. Why would Cody put that? It was like, okay, I don't want to go for this heavyweight title. So let's throw that fucking stip out there. Early in the career of AEW, in the history of it. So this way people stop bringing that shit up. It's pretty fascinating when you look back on it. But a lot of people won't, because it kind of looks like AEW, he didn't think it was very worthy enough that if he's going to be a first heavyweight champion, let it be for this company. So, Stefan Beck in the house with a 10 spot with him. Not to bring the mood down, but did I hear about Brian Robinson, the NFL player who got shot in D.C. today, but has non-life-threatening injuries? My thoughts on rising crime and in this recession. You know, look, I know that there's some rising crime in a lot of areas, but you got to look at stats closely, because believe it or not, I was amazed to find out that New York's crime is actually down. But if you go on Twitter, you see crazy unrest. I saw a guy today. I don't know if you all saw this. I know New Yorkers did, but if you all want to go see it, it's on Twitter. Some guy in the Bronx today was by a deli or something, and two guys show up on a scooter, and there's somebody happens to be filming across the street with a phone in the scooter. You see this guy begging for his life, please help, help. And the guy in the scooter is with the gun, and the gun jams. And somebody comes and literally grabs the gun, and they race off. And people like, oh, crime is out of control. I saw a video yesterday of some people beating up a cop in New York. But I look at the stats and the crime is actually down. It's just that on social media, everything is shown now. Everybody has a camera phone. So in a lot, and I'm not downplaying what you showed, what you just wrote, but you know, every little incident now is magnified online. And unfortunately, in some cases, it's to fit an agenda, you know, and there'll be blame on this person, blame on Trump, whatever it is, you know. But it's still, I mean, with recession comes desperation. And with desperation comes crime. And unfortunately, you know, with guns, you know, look, I have always said that I believe in gun control. And I believe that I don't need something that shoots 100 bullets. You know, if I want to protect my family, you know, I can protect my family with something that holds 10 bullets. I personally think if 10 bullets is not enough for me to protect my family, if somebody breaks into my house, then I deserve to get the shit knocked out of me. You know, I mean, it's, but I also feel that, you know, if a gun is sitting on my table right now, that gun is not going to do anything unless I pick it up and start using it. So it's not just, you know, the fact that there's guns, it's what people, you know, are doing with it. And as far as accessibility, you want something, you can get it. If I want something illegal, I could get it. And if you're, you know, in that position where you want to commit crimes like that, you're going to find a way to do it. It sucks. So, you know, how do you turn that around? Every state is different. As far as Brian Robinson getting shot, I don't know the details behind it. I've been seeing a lot of rap guys, you know, getting killed in Chicago, Detroit, California, and there's a lot of gang violence attached to it. You know, it just, I don't know. My problem with New York is you commit a crime and you could be back on the street in a matter of hours. And I have seen cases where people will, you know, sexually assault someone and they're back on the street 6 hours later. You think someone gets scared straight after 6 hours? I'll never do that again. You know, it's just, it's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. So big shout out to John Vickers. Much love, my friend. Thank you for everything that you do for the shows and all your super chats you send in. I really appreciate it. And he always sends a blank page. So I fill it in based on what he said. And he's like, you can't read it right now because he wrote in white text. But right now I'm looking at his super chat and says, hey, DT, you are the greatest, best, most awesomest podcaster ever. Thank you very much for the 25 and a half years of entertainment. I can't wait to see what year 26 has in store for you. And make sure you have your future missus sign a prenup. We don't want half a show in the future. He wrote all of that. Much love, John. Guardian of Chaos. Brother, thank you very much for that. You didn't have to do that. I thank you for not only, you know, tuning in all the time, not only keeping the fort with Austin in the chats, but just believing in what I do. You know, a lot of people don't know what Guardian of Chaos has done in wrestling. Google it. Go on Twitter and search. This motherfucker's in Hall of Fames. You know, this guy is legit. You know, and let me tell you something. I don't want to start name dropping because it's really hokey and cheesy. But I'm going to do it now just to be a little different. And I hope some of them don't get angry. But, you know, I look back at a lot of the drama I have had. And I'm just tired physically and emotionally about it. But let me tell you something. When I have people that are tuning in that says, Jesus, I remember what you were doing in 1997. When I get support, like from Guardian of Chaos and others, when I have people in wrestling that, you know, will send me DMs like, brother, love your shows, keep it up, you know. When I see someone post publicly, hey, any wrestling podcast I should tune into, and I see Cross and others say, yeah, check out Don Tony's work. Check out Kevin Castle's work. He's still around. And you see others. When I see people that I grew up, like John Arezzi and others, see people that I grew up as a kid, see it, and then getting a DM out of nowhere, hey, been checking out your shit. Keep being straight up. Keep telling it like it is. Really enjoying your work. You know, I sit back and I say to myself, you know, that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate. Like, if I could get, when I see laughing emojis, I know I get a little over the top with my stuff, but I think people realize now there is no hate. There's no hatred. We could criticize things. We could call things out the way we see them. But when I see the response, the reaction, Pro Wrestling TV, shout out to all of them. And, you know, we're having a conversation and we're talking about some big time people in wrestling and like, yeah, so-and-so, big fan of your stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty fucking cool. And then, you know, it's just like, that came out of nowhere. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. And it really puts an exclamation point on what I do. And that's why I keep doing this. You know, it's a real shame, some of the jealousy that goes on. It's not, I'm just not even my way, but it's just across the board in wrestling. You see it amongst journalists. You see it amongst news sites. You see it amongst wrestlers. You see it amongst podcasters. You know, there's so much jealousy around. And there's this weird bitterness that when you see good vibes, positive vibes, having fun, success, you know, there is this large audience out there that it just like angers them. And that's just something that I can't be a part of. Mike from New York says MTV used to be good. I got news for you. My niece actually works for MTV, and she's actually at the awards tonight. And she's bringing me like the nice gift bag that they give out to all of the celebrities that are in attendance. She's bringing me one back tonight. Yeah, my niece works for MTV. So I know they're doing some awards tonight. So thank you, Chaos. Thank you, my friend. All right. Let's get into more questions. Everyone in the chat, you're all welcome. Just write in capital letters, questions. My thoughts on the NWA 74 pay-per-view, Joe New. I have not watched it yet. I saw a couple of little clips online. It doesn't look bad. I'm still very concerned about NWA's future. They're trying. They're trying, but they're stuck in the mud. And I think no follow-up on the women's pay-per-view from a year ago, that's biting them in the ass. I think we all realized a year ago that this was going to be pretty much a one-shot thing. There wasn't a crazy expense attached to it. So why not just bring it back for another year? Doesn't cost a crazy amount of money. You know, this time around, you tell Tony Khan, hey, no disrespect against your wrestlers, but I don't need your fucking money. I don't need you to pay for anybody this time around. How's that? You know, stand up for yourself. How much does it really cost? But the problem is, people online, that noise hyped it up bigger than what it actually was. And the numbers that came back were somewhat disappointing. Period. Period. If you thought that NWA's in power blew the doors off with buys, you don't think they would have done another one a year later, 6 months later? Maybe try to do it as a quarterly thing, a biannual thing? And why is it not being brought back? And I think that's biting him in the ass, because people thought that NWA was going to be the pay-per-view headed up by Mickey James and everything else, that this is going to be the Fed where we're really going to put women's wrestling to the next level. People have been wanting it. People have been demanding it. People have been insisting on it. Now we finally got a big-time company that is going to go ahead and do it. And they don't. Things could change. Things could change. Hell, wouldn't be surprised if a month or two from now we hear news, hey, NWA actually is going to do another one, a follow-up. But I think in the end, you know, people want to think, pro wrestling, look, I like women's wrestling. Many times I find women's wrestling more entertaining than men, but I don't force it. I don't watch someone simply because they have breasts and a vagina. I don't watch someone simply because they're a man. I don't watch someone simply because they're black. I don't watch someone simply because they're gay. I watch someone because they entertain me. And if it shifts to women, that's fine. If it shifts to men, that's fine. If a lot of my favorites, look at my favorite baseball players growing up. My two favorite baseball players of all time is Daryl Strawberry and Reggie Jackson. All right. You know, my favorite managers are not black. But my point is, I don't give a fuck that my favorite baseball player is black or my second base. They're my favorite players. But in actuality, when it comes down to business, Ring of Honor, for how many years? They never had this huge women's division. Impact Wrestling, looking back at 20 years, outside of the WWE, I think Impact Wrestling has had the most impact on women's wrestling. Next to the WWE, I give Impact Wrestling that credit. But as far as these other feds, you feel like it's, and then the numbers tell the story. And unfortunately, these companies are not going to go outside and give people truth serum and say, listen, the facts are, you all could make this noise online and hype that shit up, but we lost money. And then you get the PC people. Shouldn't always be about money. Should be about that. And then what do you do about that? What do you do about that? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So, sucks, but those are the facts. Roger Rubio, a fucking member for 19 months. Awesome. 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 Chaos says he tunes into Don Tony because he's Don Tony. I appreciate that. I felt bad for Mike Monty. He's got an awesome Long Island show. Monty and the Pharaoh. Monty and the Pharaoh, right? Yeah, Mike Monty. And I remember one time somebody live on his show asked a comment about me. And he made a remark. This is before I went video. And he made a remark. He's like, you know, Don Tony is all full of himself. All he talks about is Don Tony. And I remember back then, I was like, yeah, it's what the fucking show's about. But I realized what he was saying, and he was actually on point. And I actually felt kind of embarrassed after. That's why I pulled back. But it doesn't mean I don't appreciate each and every one of you out there. So Roger Rubio is asking, have I liked how Bayley has been booked so far in a comeback? She's his favorite wrestler, women's wrestler, and wants her to continue to succeed. Look, take your time with Bayley. She is returning from a very serious injury, and you got to take baby steps. She's working on the house shows, and she's doing more than is perceived. No rush. No rush. No reason why you got to throw all your cards on the table so quickly with Bayley. You know, I get Lucha Bros, what I saw with Pac, Will Ospreay, Aussie Open. A couple little things about the match that annoyed me. We talked about it Wednesday. But there's no question, those guys are goddamn amazing at what they do. And I also say to myself, in 10 years, none of them are going to be fucking wrestling that style. You look at Rey Mysterio. You know, other than a 619 and he jumps off and he lands on someone's chest, and the guy doesn't do half the things he used to because they want to prolong his career. AJ Styles, he does what is necessary and he feels the crowd and he knows that he's done enough and he's not ripping anybody off. Other people, they got to dive off a bridge to get a pop. And the problem is when you keep diving off a bridge, people get used to it. So now, me, I must dive off 20-story building. And then people get used to it. Oh, now me go dive off a plane. And then people get used to it. Oh, me next, I go dive from Mars. And then people get used to it. Oh, look, I see God. That's how high I'm up. Look, you know, what's going to happen 5 years from now when they can't do a third of that because their body's breaking down? They're not, you know, they're not crash test dummies. So I do appreciate what these guys do. But I also say to myself, ain't no fucking way they're going to keep that up for 5 years. You know, all you need, look, Ray Phoenix, as Excalibur calls him, you know, every time he does some of these moves, I say to myself, oh, God, please don't slip even a drop, because that's the difference of awesome move or serious injury. I fear that Ray Phoenix's career will be cut short because of some crazy-ass move that it something slightly goes off, nobody's fault, and he gets seriously injured. All right. RMJ23 went to Disney World recently, has three more Disney trips booked. His dad thinks it's a waste of money. My thoughts. I have never been to Disney before. I am going on my honeymoon. We will be there for 8 days. And I will tell you after we go if it was worth it. Now, me as a future husband, I will go on the show and say it was worth every penny. And I will mean that. Spending it with someone will be awesome. I don't care if it rains every day. I will still have a awesome time. But no, financially, I don't know if it's worth it. I'll tell you after. If you have a great time, that's why when some people tell me, hey, I got front row tickets for WrestleMania. Yes, some people who tune in live to the shows do spend thousands to go to Mania. And you know what I say every time? you know, besides, super chat some of that shit my way, motherfucker. But besides that, I say, you know what? That's a memory that you can't take away. You know I have bored you to death talking about me being at the Garden when Hogan won the championship against the Iron Sheik. There is video proof of it. But regardless of the video proof, you know, when I think back, I cry sometimes at the sadness that things that I used to love doing, I don't do anymore. And I don't see some of the friends I used to. And some of my friends have passed on. But you know what? That building that night was shaking. When I went to the World Series game in 2001, where Brocious hit the home run against the Diamondbacks, and that place was shaking. The noise was so loud that my ears felt like they closed. That is something that you'll never take away from me. So whether you spend thousands to go to Mania or spend a crazy amount of money to go to AEW All Out, or you spend a crazy amount of money to go to Disney, if you enjoyed yourself and you're not in tremendous debt over it, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Enjoy yourself, man. Enjoy it. You know, as people say, you can't take it with you. Trust me, there ain't going to be nothing left over when it's my time to go. You know, I got a life insurance policy, and I keep that going, and I say to myself, all right, if I drop dead, at least I know the life insurance policy will pay all my credit card debt off. But ain't nothing being taken with me. The only thing that'll happen is I told my fiance, if anything ever happens to me, go on my Twitter, give away all this shit. As long as people have a podcast, you know, and they're on my friends list, you know, give it away. That's it. Give it away. All right. VJ, do I think AEW will smarten up and hire real writers and real VPs to help run and evolve the company? No. No, I don't. I don't think they need real VPs or real writers. A lot of their wrestling is based on what you see. It's not deep, deep storylines. But, you know, some of it is just thrown together, obviously. Some of it takes 3 months to build where it should only take 3 weeks. And for a lot of AEW fans, that's good enough for them. You know, the AEW template does not have to be the same as the WWE template. The problem is what you are hearing now behind the scenes. Some of it is blurred lines. Some people behind, look at Athena, Jade Cargill. Have you watched their Twitter account the last week? If you haven't, go check it out. I always say, you know, I'm not into these Twitter wars between wrestlers that are going to have matches, you know, because I don't think social media should be used to build characters. You know, if I have a TV show and I'm in a soap opera, you know, just think about it. You're on General Hospital, and imagine I'm a character on General Hospital, and I'm having sex with a woman and she's cheating on her husband. Imagine me going on Twitter and going to the husband and saying, hey, I fucked your wife. What are you going to do about it, bitch? The writers ain't going to do shit about it. They like me, motherfucker. You're going to show up to work and you're going to take it. You're going to take it. People would say to me, what are you, stupid? It's, you're acting like, I'm watching Athena and Jade Cargill, like, just go watch it. And you say to yourself, and that's what some people do. They try to blur the lines and they don't get the, but listen, here's where I defend Athena. This is where I defend Ember Moon. She does not get the TV time to do this. So her only alternative is social media. That's why she does it. But the thing is, some of the blurred lines that you see, it's mixing in with real life problems. And now you can't figure out what is blurred lines and what is not. Listen, when Eddie Kingston is doing those skits on TV, hey, is this on? Don't cameraman, don't go to commercial. I'm not done what I'm saying. He's not shooting. He's not going against the script and forcing AEW not to go to a commercial break. You know, he's given the perception that he's going into business for himself because fans believe that everything you see with Eddie Kingston is authentic. that that's how he is in real life. And that's fine. That is fine. The problem is when it bleeds into real situations, you can't tell, you know, that's not very good because, you know, when you start commingling it, things that are just storyline now come across as negative. And what do you expect Tony Khan to do? Go and bust it open and say, listen, everyone, these two guys, they don't really have the issues that people are saying. What's he going to do? He says something about CM Punk. Oh, what was CM Punk? You know, what was your thoughts on what he said about Hangman Page? What did he say? Built up anger? And he got away with that. Built up anger. The fuck is that? You know, but he got away with it. He doesn't know how to answer it. So they need to get their shit in order behind the scenes. And the problem is you have too many of these cliques. This is what AEW was built on. AEW was not built with outsiders and bringing in other people in the business to help the outsiders put it all together. There's favoritism, there's cliques, there's friends looking out for friends. You know, if you come from elsewhere, look at WWE when WCW went out of business. You look at the wrestlers that came to WWE. And do you remember when they before Invasion, do you remember when they first came in? We saw an episode of Raw, I think it was, where they just destroyed O'Hare and others and just beat the Palumbo. They just destroyed all the WCW guys that came in because JBL and others, they felt like, wait a minute, these people are coming into our employment. They could take one of our spots. So there was legitimate animosity. You don't think that animosity is not there when you have someone that comes into AEW, they're buddies with a whole bunch of people, and you feel like they're going to get a push, and the next thing you know, this other wrestler or team comes in, and now all of a sudden they're getting all this TV time and you get bullshit? You don't think that? That is a huge problem. And the thing is that the current VPs and the current writers are not going to fix that. It's just going to build, build, build. And if I was WWE, if I was Triple H, just sit back and watch. And I think they will do that. You know, I still remember when they first debuted, who in WWE said it's a marathon, not a sprint to Tony Khan? Was it Triple H? Does anybody remember who made the statement? I think it was Triple H that said to Tony Khan, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think, you know, maybe it took 3 years, 4 years, maybe it takes 5 years, 10 years. But I think WWE in their mind is, we'll just sit back, let them have their cliques and their, you know, buddies and this and that. And sooner or later, things will implode from within. It was Triple H. It was people saying it was Triple H. I think they're good to just sit back and just let AEW continue to erode within. I don't think AEW is in any jeopardy, you know, of shutting down. I don't say that at all. I think AEW is going to get an even better TV deal with Warner Media when they negotiate soon. But if I was WWE, their numbers are up. Their financials are up. The climate, the energy is better. Fans are enjoying it. You know, WWE 5 years from now is a snap of a finger. So they just keep doing what they're doing. They're worrying. They want Triple H wants people to tune into WWE because they're good, not because AEW is bad. Doesn't that sound familiar? I'm sorry for bringing this up, but that was something that was said to me in 2007. DT, stop making fun of In Your Head. Stop making fun of some of those podcasts at the time. Have people enjoy your show, not because they suck, but because you're good. What did Tony Khan say for the last 2+ years? WWE sucks. We're good. They keep ripping up the script and this, this, and that. They don't know what they're doing. He doesn't like it. He doesn't disrespect the wrestlers, even though he does and he doesn't realize it. But he made the mistake. They bad, we good. Now, WWE says, you know what? We don't care if they're good or they're bad. We just want you to check us out because we're good. And that's all AEW has to do. Be proud. Take a little pride. and they need someone to be the mouthpiece of that company, not just the cheerleader. There is a big difference. AEW has a boatload of cheerleaders online. And unfortunately, those cheerleaders will only gush about the positive and find ways to pick a positive, but will never address the negative. So, Rob, why would you think that Triple H is not big on Liv Morgan? I mean, what is that based on? I mean, you know, if she loses to Shayna Baszler, yeah, then I actually could buy into that a little bit, but that's just people's perception online. There's nothing to allude that he's not high on Liv Morgan. Only time will tell. So Sam says they're charging $3,000 for four seats for the Toronto show. I think those are scalpers. Those are scalpers. Somebody was telling me the other day that AEW, like, what did they say, like 25% of the tickets sold were scalpers? And I say the same thing. AEW got their money. You know, I grew up in the 80s with concerts where scalpers didn't have even eBay or anything like that. They would snatch up tickets and show up at the place, standing outside. Hey, you want to go to the concert? Give me $500. Hey, you want ninth row? $500. They stand outside. You know, if AEW, even if half the tickets were scalpers, and then the scalpers, they demand too much money and they end up not. That's why when people sell to me an empty area at an AEW paper, you're like, look, they didn't sell out. Yes, they did. It's just the scalpers demanded too much money, didn't get it, and then they got stuck. So when people laugh and say, oh, AEW selling tickets for $2 the night of the show. No, those are scalpers trying to get something out of it. Give me $500. No. All right. Give me $250. No. Give me $100. No. Now the show today. Give me $10. Let me go buy a pack of cigarettes. Let me buy a donut at least. Give me $3. After that, it's not worth nothing. You know where it might be worth it? If something crazy ass goes down, somebody title changes, somebody shows up, somebody dies. We don't want that to happen, but something happens. Then those scalpers that couldn't sell those tickets right on eBay, unused ticket, $100. You have any idea how much fraud over the years? Unused ticket, Owen Hart, Over the Edge, pay-per-view, unused ticket, fraud. And people were selling them for hundreds of dollars online. And some people got, you know, hit with fraudulent shit. So scalpers buying. Look, if I have a wrestling event and I find out that a third of the tickets or a quarter of the tickets or 20% of the tickets were bought by scalpers, and then at the day of the show, I find out that 1,000 tickets weren't resold because they demanded. So what? AEW got their money. The scalpers paid AEW. So whether those tickets end up getting resold or they get stuck with them, AEW got their money. That's all that matters. That's why I feel bad, but I say it to a lot of you out there. Save your breath. When you send to me, oh, look, AEW is selling tickets for $1. Save your breath. That's a scalper just trying to get something out of it. AEW got their money. So understand, you know, how this works before people make fun of it. VJ says, who do I think will win the title from Drew if he wins? I don't know if Cross gets it. I don't know if Cross gets it. And I don't mean, does he get it emotionally? I don't mean that. I mean, like, I think it might be a little too soon. I think Cross will be a threat for Drew McIntyre. I think the only flaw in the storyline right now, and I mentioned this yesterday, is that Cross's promo on SmackDown was tremendous, but too much on Drew McIntyre, not enough on Roman Reigns. The aura that I get from Cross and his promos, and it's not his fault, it's WWE, how they directed it. How I feel is that Cross is going to go after Drew. Cross is not going after Roman. It feels too one-sided. And I'm not sure if Cross gets it. It's possible. I personally think Seth Rollins or Bobby Lashley could end up with a championship. or maybe Cross gets it and then loses it to one of those two. I think Seth Rollins, I think gold is in his future sooner than later. A lot of people think that Seth Rollins is being buried. He's not being buried at all. He's just, right now, it's not his time. And his feud with Riddle ended up being tremendous. So Riddle, some people think, will get it. So I'm not sure right now who gets it. I'm just not sold yet on Cross being the one to take one of Drew. But I also believe Drew will lose one title and keep the other one. I think Drew will keep the SmackDown, you know, the Universal Championship, and I think he will lose the Raw Championship. And yes, Cross is not on Raw. So that's why I'm not certain yet. So we'll see. Let's get through the third. The third is only 6 days away. And we'll see what the outcome is. And we'll talk about it on that Monday, the 5th. So, yeah, Seth Rollins, I'm a huge fan. Love his stuff. I've been a fan of his stuff, even at the times where people just absolutely couldn't stand him. I get it with Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is one of the premier. Look, to me, Seth Rollins is in the top five of the top wrestlers of today. It's not even close. Definitely in the top five. Deserves to be in the top five. Seth Rollins, when he becomes full-fledged babyface again, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. Charlie's asking, how do I fix the issues in AEW? They couldn't pay me enough to answer that. Tony Khan is going to have to hire people that he's not emotionally attached to, that other wrestlers are not emotionally connected to, that go in there and look at it straight up as business, as pro wrestling, and just in the numbers. And, you know, unfortunately, I just can't see that when you have the people doing. Look, Tony Khan is almost trapped right now. I don't know if people realize that. And I'm not saying it to shit on the guy. He's trapped right now. He's got, you know, his guys working there. And they're set on their ways. And you tell me when people are going to change their ways. You imagine if, we were talking about yesterday, imagine if Kenny Omega leaves, that Japanese influence will be so, as far as women's wrestling goes, you'll see that dramatically change. When you see a couple other people, if they end up leaving, their influence as far as what you see, as people leave, you'll see influence go away. And it's almost like he's at the mercy because he needs all those people to do what they're doing behind the scenes. Notice they never physically replace Cody Rhodes. You know, they have people doing certain things and they're kind of picking up the slack. But, you know, when you have a giant meeting with someone outside of wrestling and you send Cody Rhodes as the executive vice president or whatever he was doing at the time, you send a specific name, professional, suit, everything. Now who do they send? Who do they send? Evil Uno? You know, nothing against the guy. I'm not saying it's him. I'm just making a point, like, who do you send? Who's the figure that is the representation that is, you know, the soothing effect, the business-like, professional? You know, no bias. What's the betterment? And I don't, is there any go-to person you have right now? Is there go-to behind the scenes? I think the only name some people bring out is Kenny Omega. And honestly, I would not think that is all that good. If Omega left or Regal left, AEW would go on. It would go on just fine. Rob is saying, what are we all supposed to do when I'm on my honeymoon and I don't go live? There's plenty of other shows. Look, the only shows you're not getting is Raw on a Monday night. Yeah, that one Patreon show. Yeah, there's only three or four shows, but I think I will live stream one night that week. I'm sure I'm going to, look, you, to all of you out there, do you physically think that I'm going to be able to walk through Disney World? I can't even walk to my mailbox without something getting sore. You know, you ever lay in your bed and the remote is by your TV and you want to change the channel? How many of you are out there like, motherfucker, How many of you out there have laid in bed and the remote is on your dresser about 15 feet away and you got to change the channel and you're trying to somehow maybe mind melt where you could convince that remote to change the channel without you getting up? And then what ends up happening is you fall asleep to the same shit that you were watching and you realize that you were too lazy to walk 15 feet to grab the remote control and change the channel. How many, see, people online right now are saying that's them. That is me. You expect me to walk 10 miles a day in Disney? So I expect to be live streaming one or two nights that week from the hotel room. I will have a good view. If we have fireworks, I'll put the laptop, put it up. You know, so I think you'll see an appearance from me that week. But, you know, it might be an episode like this. We might do a sit down over there. I'll bring a banner just in case, you know. So I'm sure we'll do something. I can't tell you how many times. Disney is a lot of walking. Yes, it is. All right. Why Primo Cologne? Why has 1 million viewers become a struggle for AEW nowadays? Last year, they did over 1 million for seven straight weeks. I think the focus on New Japan, Ring of Honor, I think trying to put so many people on TV, I think trying to have five-star matches, you know, at least once or twice a month. I know some people think I'm crazy for saying this stuff right now, but, you know, people get numb to it. You know, like I said, I enjoy the Lucha Bros and Pac and what they do. But how many weeks did we see them with the House of Black and it ends up with their mask being ripped off and they lose or they open up a Dynamite and have crazy show? You know, after a while, you know, you look at Santana and Ortiz and now Santana is injured. They don't like each other. And then you look back at the last 3 years and you say to yourself, these motherfuckers, look at how AEW treated them. How do you like their title run in AEW? You know, after a while, you root. Oh, no. They're finally going to give a push. They give Pac an Atlantic title that's defended on Elevation and on Dark. You know, after a while, people like, man, they ain't stupid. They know Tony Khan. They throw them on TV as spot monkeys. They ain't getting no push. Man, you look at FTR. They got everybody else's titles. Yeah, they don't have the fucking company that they're on TV for. Man, we see this. You motherfuckers. Oh, the Acclaimed, the number one contenders. Oh, Private Party, the number one contenders. Oh, the Butcher, the Baker, the Candlestick Maker, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Darby Allin. Oh, they're the number one contenders, and then they drop out. After a while, you know, people are like, man, we know who getting pushed. We know who Tony Khan fucking loves. And unfortunately, you know, after a while, I think people like, you know, I'll watch that on a replay. I'll go watch clips on YouTube. I already know who's going to win. You know, when you see all these matches being booked, seriously, that's why I don't do predictions contests sometimes with a lot of their regular shows just for fun. You look at the show. Anybody out there really think Kylan King was going to beat Britt Baker last week? Is anybody in their right mind? I mean, John Moxley and CM Punk, okay, exception to the rule. Two champions, you could go either way. But you look at 95% of their matches, you know who's winning. You know, and after a while, it's just not must-see TV anymore. You know, things don't feel special. Everybody goes through the tables. There's crazy amounts of blood. You know, everything has got to be a major stipulation. You got to put titles next to names to make it feel more important. You know, Quake by the Lake, you know, Ridge by the Bridge, Shit by the Pit. You know, I mean, after a while, people are like, this is just regular Dynamite. You're trying to hype it up too much. People get numb to it after a while. And people demand surprises. They demand the lights off, the lights on, this and that. And then you get Kip Sabian. Oh, my God, Kip Sabian, he's back. Holy shit, Chant. I don't dislike the guy. Why would you think a million people would want to, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Kip Sabian. In their eyes, his value is much higher. In my eyes, with all due respect, if Kip Sabian never wrestled ever again, I wouldn't even think twice. Oh, you remember that guy, Kip? Yeah, whatever happened to him? You know, some of the wrestlers that they think that are a big deal, nothing against the Dark Order, but they couldn't even have a... Do you realize they never did a stipulation or a segment where the Dark Order went up to Anna Jay and said, Anna, what are you doing? Why are you leaving us? Anna, Dark Order for life. They never did a backstage segment with the Dark Order addressing Anna Jay going to the Jericho Appreciation Society. And then I'm supposed to give a shit that the Dark Order goes on to the quarterfinals for a trios tournament. You know, there is a small group of people out there that love it, but not a million. So it's, I could throw examples like this till tomorrow. And I'm not trying to be cruel and I'm not trying to be rude, but a lot of these people, you know, look, when I was in indie wrestling, doing the shit that I was doing, no matter, even if it was bad, I used to throw names out there. When anybody that tuned into my hotlines and podcasts back in the day, and I used to do wrestling shows for VPW or USA Pro, UXW, Jersey Championship, whatever is Fat Frank's league, the school shows were. And I used to name drop Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I used to name drop Christopher Street Connection. Used to name drop, I'm trying to think of another one that's good. Havoc. I used to bring up him and others. And regular people that tune in like, who? Huh? Who? What? But then I would say, oh, the SATs. Oh, yeah, SATs. Yeah. Amazing Red. Oh, fucking awesome. But a lot of people that I thought, I always wanted to see the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels in TNA. And I used to, on every show, TNA, bring them in for one time. I'll fucking pay for their airfare. They will tear the roof down. To regular fans' eyes, they didn't give a fuck about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. They didn't give a fuck about some of the wrestlers. But me, I had so much attachment to them and emotion, I was convinced they can do it. And unfortunately, though, what I think is not what the majority thinks. And some of those people that you see on TV, you see in some of the things that they're doing, they're not the majority. You could have people online, oh, fuck, Kip Sabian's back. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Nobody gives a shit at the end of the day, really. Remember what I said Wednesday about Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley? Some of you emailed me and showed me screenshots. Holy shit, I checked out this person's profile. They wrote Wednesday, holy fucking shit, MCMG, oh, LFG, let's fucking go. Motor City Machine Guns, all out. And they did an advanced Twitter search. And that person who's been around writing articles, podcasting for about 13 years, 14 years, never tweeted once about Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, or the Motor City Machine Guns. But if you would have saw that person's Twitter on Wednesday, you would have thought that this person's brother and brother-in-law were the Motor City Machine Guns. Goosebumps, holy fucking shit, let's fucking go. Unbelievable, amazing, incredible, I can't believe it. Thank you, Tony. And for 13, 14 years, you never wrote about them once. T. Smitty is in the house. Thank you for the five spot. Seeing the growth of Ricky Starks has proven Triple H point of wrestlers getting trained and developed on other promotions' dimes. You cannot say that yet because Ricky Starks is still in AEW. Unfortunately, I think Ricky Starks follows the path of Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky. Hey, how do you like that push that Scorpio Sky is getting? They get to a certain ceiling and then disappear. I saw people today because that TV series that Samoa Joe was doing, like, what was he doing, voice or whatever he was doing there. They finally finished filming. And people are convinced that the reason why Samoa Joe has been incognito this entire time is because he's been doing all this work just for this TV show. when you see what Samoa Joe does on this show, you're going to, I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but you're going to say to me, that motherfucker couldn't do anything in wrestling during this time. Now you watch over the next 2 months, 8 weeks. I'm giving him 8 weeks. Do I think Samoa Joe will be on TV in those 8 weeks? Yes. Let's see how much they do with Samoa Joe on TV. You look at AEW for the last couple of years. What makes you think that suddenly he's going to be on TV a couple of weeks out of every month? You might get a backstage segment here and there. Then you're going to realize, okay, what excuse are you going to give now? But as far as Ricky Starks, look, Ricky Starks was in NWA. He was one of my favorites. And you could do searches on my old shows. Just type his name in. You'll see everything that I've said about him. I'm a huge fan of Ricky Starks. But in the end, I do not see Ricky Starks breaking through to main event status in AEW. There's going to be the smoke and mirrors for the next 3 months. He's going to be tied up with QT Marshall and the fucking Factory and Powerhouse Hobbs. And maybe he'll get a shot at a TNT championship match. But after 3 months, 4 months, you're going to be like, I don't feel like Ricky Starks is that. Look at Darby and others. Does it feel like anybody has gone like closer to the main event title, to the title picture? Does it feel, or do you just content that as long as they're on TV, that's all that matters? You know, so as much as I love Ricky Starks, I don't know how far his ceiling is in AEW. I'm not confident based on what I've seen so far. Ethan Page, that's a guy that I honestly thought was going to break through, and it didn't happen. And he could try to shoot frustrated, try to turn it into a storyline, try to make it controversial, ain't going to do nothing. Join up with Stokey Hathaway. Join up with Pokey. Pokey Pathetic. Tune up with Hokey Holistic. Join up with anybody you want. I don't think it's going to make a difference. But he's not in the WWE, so Triple H has really nothing to do with Ricky Starks right now. So, Cappy Caveman, how come, why doesn't WWE have any Mr. Fuji merchandise? Because Mr. Fuji was never a huge merchandise seller, but you could go on places like Etsy. I don't know about Zazzle, but you could go on Etsy and some other places, and there is Mr. Fuji merchandise. Some of my shirts that I wear sometimes, like the Bloody Dusty Roads and others, and people are like, holy shit, where'd you get that? What I do, you go on Google Image, type in whatever wrestler you want, Andre the Giant, Mr. Fuji, I don't care, anybody, and then click search, and you will see websites that have underground shirts, custom shirts, bootleg shirts. You could tell who has good quality and who doesn't. You could find a shirt. You could find a shirt for almost anybody out there. So, yeah, if you do a Google Image search, I guarantee you, there's definitely Warlord, Powers of Pain. Why do I have a hard time saying Warlord? Warlord, Powers of Pain. There's definitely Powers of Pain merchandise. By the way, I still remember that night where Mr. Fuji left Demolition and it went to the Powers of Pain. That was awesome, man. Master Fuji. I used to love Mr. Fuji. That motherfucker, I met Mr. Fuji at the Ridgewood Grove Arena a couple of times when my grandmother used to take me, God rest her soul. And that guy, you'd shake his hand, oh, how are you? And he'd pinch the inside of your hand. Now, not pinch like, oh, you know when you do that, I don't even know what it means, but you do that to someone, like you hold your significant other's hand and you go like this, and I guess it's supposed to mean that you want to have sex or something. You ever do that to somebody's hand? I do that to my fiance and hold in a hand and she slaps me in the head. But Mr. Fuji, he didn't do that. But Mr. Fuji would shake your hand and he'd pinch the inside of your hand. It doesn't hurt that much here. But when you're a kid, 8 years old and 10 years old, and Mr. Fuji, you know, 35-year-old Mr. Fuji is pinching your hand. That shit sucks. It hurts, man. It hurts. I don't know if that was a rib. Maybe he just hated Italian kids. I don't know. But I loved Mr. Fuji. Mr. Fuji was awesome. Him in Morocco, because I loved Miami Vice. By the way, shout out to everybody who tuned into Miami Vice after we had that discussion last week. That was awesome. That was awesome. All right, we're at 85 minutes. So we're going to start wrapping this up soon. Let's start bringing it home. Let's get into a couple of more quick questions and get out of here. Guardian of Chaos says, back in the 80s, he witnessed Mr. Fuji pissing in the shower, smiling. I could picture him with his face. And that's the thing about Mr. Fuji. Anybody ever met Mr. Fuji? Mr. Fuji, whenever he would smile, it was almost like his nervous system wouldn't allow him to do anything else. Like when you smile, you're like you move your head. Yeah. Mr. Fuji, when he would smile, he would freeze. Like his body wouldn't let him do it. He couldn't multitask while he smiled. When he smiled, he would just be like this. And if you think I'm kidding, go watch Mr. Fuji in some segments. Even with the Miami Vice stuff, when he smiles, for some reason, he turns into like he's paralyzed. He'll be moving around and everything, and then he smiles, and it's like. VJ's watching the Ray documentary. During the I'm Your Peppy angle, Dominic's teacher was worried about his home life because she thought, yes, I did hear about that. Dominic's teacher thought that there was legit issues with Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio over Dominic. You know, look, back in the day, you know, wrestling, everybody knew the cat was out of the bag. But sometimes things would happen on TV, and if you weren't an avid wrestling fan, you thought something legit happened. My most infamous one, besides Vince McMahon in a limousine, you know, when the NWO showed up that time, I think it was the night where they threw Rey Mysterio like a dart, you know, Kevin Nash threw him like a dart into the building, and they were brawling, and there was like fighting going on outside and other shit. Some people legitimately called the cops. They thought legitimately shit was going down. I mean, some storylines, things happen, and some people legitimately call the cops. You know, anything you watch, you know, you watch, yeah. There was something in New York City several years ago. I don't remember exactly what the show was for, but they were filming. They were filming in the street for like a play or a movie or something. And they did something in the street to simulate like a shooting. And somebody called the cops and said, oh my God, I just witnessed this. And then they were like, yeah, we'll check it out. Oh no, that was filming for a TV show or something. You know, look, some people, you know, are not, you know, they're not wrestling fans. So they hear about it, you know, and obviously that teacher did not know where to find things, you know, to dispel it. And she thought it was real. John Vickers saying, why don't AEW use Paul White? Where is he? Right now, Paul White is, it's about 9:30. He probably in his older age now, probably sleeps earlier. He's probably in bed watching a little TV. Maybe he's watching the Ray documentary. Now, I know what you mean. Paul White, you know, we don't know the extent of his AEW contract. You know, it might be like slightly more than a Legends deal. You know, we don't know. But even if you were to use him, it's like, how are you going to use him? You know, I don't mind seeing a match by him once in a while, but that's not why you bring Paul White into AEW. Maybe Paul White does more like outside work, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, just like that public relations for AEW. I think that's probably where he's better utilized. I mean, we miss him on TV. I'm a fan of Paul White, but you know, I think they use him a little bit more for public relations. Could he go back to WWE? I could see that. I could see him going back to WWE. We'll see. Guardian of Chaos. In my opinion, what top two tag teams of all time would I like to book? If I had the opportunity to book two tag teams in their prime, I would definitely, one of the two tag teams without a doubt would be the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors weren't polished. They, you know what? See, as a wrestling fan, I would say Road Warriors, Demolition. In their primes, but then again, Demolition, Axe was not in his prime. Axe was way past the mass superstar. You know, I watch some people that watch Demolition matches today, and they're like, I don't fucking see why people got into them so much. It was like they bought the Road Warriors on Wish. You know, like, Axe wasn't that good. All he did was just punch people. It didn't matter at the time. You can't, the feeling that we had in that era, it's not the feeling we have in today's era. So you can't compare it. That's why I don't like comparing wrestlers of yesteryear. But I wonder if the Road Warriors and Demolition would be too similar in style. Maybe if it was like, you know, like Street Fight, No Holds Barred, where they could just brawl over the fucking building, maybe that would be pretty wild. You know, put them in like an ECW atmosphere. You know, look, I remember watching a little bit of Road Warrior Hawk when he was working the indies in Detroit. And doing some of the wild brawls and putting people through tables. I thought that was pretty fucking cool. But I'll be honest with you. I would go with the Road Warriors. And the Steiners is not bad, Soulfly. I love the Steiner Brothers back in the day. The Steiner Brothers are not bad. But we saw the Steiners and the Road Warriors. That kind of, you know. If I could choose a tag team from the latter era, I would get a kick out of seeing the Dudleys versus the Road Warriors. And I'm not talking about the Road Warriors at the final years of Hawk's life. Or, you know, I think Road Warriors in their prime versus the Dudleys in their prime. Or even the Hardys in their prime. I would even take Edge and Christian in their prime. I think that would be pretty cool. Bold words. Is it contract tampering if AEW wrestlers reach out to other companies? Look, we just had Matt Hardy bump into, who did he bump into at the airport? I'm trying to remember. Was it a WWE wrestler? Was it Charles Rod? Well, maybe it was a referee. Charles Rod. Who did Matt Hardy just bump into at the airport? Was it a WWE person? They took pictures. You know, I brought it up. Witnessing on indie shows with TNA and WWE people were in the same building together. You know, unless you're talking about specific numbers, hey, when are you going to come back to WWE? You know, that's not contract tampering. Just because Tony Khan sends a warning to Nick Khan or someone else, you know, I don't think he has any proof because WWE is not going to be stupid enough to send an email, to send a text message to a wrestler that is under AEW contract. And it's pretty wild hearing Tony Khan say that, where these wrestlers, a lot of them are allowed to work other places. So, you know, I don't buy into the contract. I think the contract tampering stuff this week was just a ploy to try to make Tony Khan look stronger, take an initiative for AEW. I don't buy it at all. I personally think, in my opinion, if Tony Khan had an email or a text message or something with somebody in WWE management, Nick Khan or Stephanie, since he addressed it to them, if they had an email where Nick Khan or Stephanie contacted an AEW wrestler, I would have posted that shit on social media. I would have blacked out most of their email addresses, but I would have posted on social media. Remember when Tony Khan said that he had paid people about bots in wrestling? Whatever happened with that? Told you at that time that story was just going to die or go away without anything. You know, this is the bot story all over again. Stephanie, Nick, stay away. That's like me right now contacting her ex-boyfriend. And I say to him, stay the fuck away from her. I'll break your goddamn legs if you come anywhere near her. And meanwhile, a guy hasn't talked to her in 12 years. You know, guy would get it and be like, fuck is he talking about? So just because you hear that Tony Khan sent this threat, you know, I don't buy it. I don't. because I think Tony Khan would have put that shit out there and say, hey, everybody, yeah, go see for yourself. Just like the bot story. What happened to the bot story with Tony Khan? Yeah, exactly. People online quickly, shh, let's sweep it under the rug. It's a stupid story. Tony Khan doesn't realize how moronic he comes across. Let's just let it go away and people forget about it. Pretend, shh, pretend like Tony never said anything. You ever see him with interviews? Hey, Tony, whatever happened to the bot story? Where's the update? Where's the research? What did your researchers? They all got COVID? Okay. Let's, we're 5 minutes over. Let's go like 9 more minutes. Cut it off. Don't forget, I will be live tomorrow after Raw for your live Raw post show. So tune in tomorrow. And once again, for those that are interested, that is my schedule leading up to the 19th of September. And, you know, I will say this. If you follow me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, I will have my cell phone at my table. I will have cell phone in my possession. I guarantee you next Saturday at some point, I will grab my cell phone and for like 2 or 3 minutes, I will go around the reception, film a couple of minutes of video so everybody can see what's going down. So you'll get a little, you know, I'm going to post something next week. But, you know, I'll be back Labor Day. So 2 days later, we'll be right back in the swing of things. So what gimmick was worse, Papa Shango or the Boogeyman? Hands down, the Boogeyman. Papa Shango, you look back on it, it was stupid. But let me tell you something. As a younger wrestling fan, that shit creeped you out, man. When Ultimate Warrior, when he was doing the interview and the blood started coming down, and he's looking at his own, I fucking freaked out, man. I was a huge fan of the Warrior. Papa Shango scared the shit out of people, man. You know what I loved about his character? Even Undertaker, 1991 Undertaker. I know it sounds demented, but I used to laugh when I used to watch like superstars and they would flash the kids in the crowd and they're all scared and they're crying and they're hugging their parents like they're afraid. I love that shit because I could just picture Vince in the back. Go to camera 3. And there's a little kid going. I bet he was laughing his ass off. I think everybody working me up. Rene Goulet, that son of a bitch, probably had a fetish for all those little kids crying. Look at the camera 11. Look, the kid little wetting his pants. He's afraid. Look, there's a puddle. The puddle. Show the puddle. I think they all had a ball. Papa Shango used to scare the shit. And I wasn't a child, Papa Shango. Papa Shango was what, early 90s? So, you know, I could have got married. That's how old I was. But he still scared the shit out of me. Papa Shango was great, man. It ended up getting stupid. Papa Shango, if you want to use a bad gimmick for Charles White, comma, what did he say? I'm making a name for myself, or I'm here for the good fight, or I just like, comma, the Polynesian? No, that's not the Polynesian warrior. Comma, the super fighter or something? Comma sucked. He came out there with those gloves. Look, big boy. I wouldn't want to be seen, walking down the street and Kama's like, give me your money. You know, Roderick Strong, though, it's a different story. Come on, give me your money. Come on. Kama sucked. Charlie, I haven't looked into Jeff's rental car. And I'll tell you straight out why. I got an email from someone within wrestling and said, it would be smart for me to just let that go. Yeah, we could uncover it. Yeah, it might lead to a name that people would be like, oh, fuck. But, you know, after the Perry Saturn stuff from back in the day and the Kamala stuff, especially those two, this person who I actually do appreciate that is involved in wrestling, he said to me, look, just let it go. He says it's, you know, regardless of who the person is, and we have an idea who he is, you know, somebody who meant well that maybe didn't know the whole situation about Jeff. And I want to make it clear, it's not Matt, before anyone says it's not, you know, anybody like that. But I was told, you know, let it go. If it comes out in the court, it'll come out in the court. You know, I'm not about, oh, breaking exclusive, tune into my shit. Yeah, I don't need to go back in history and wiki that says so-and-so revealed it. I don't need that. So I want to see Jeff get better. First and foremost, I want to see Jeff get better. I don't want Jeff to end up what happened with Tammy or even worse. You know, I want him to get better. I hope he's okay. And that's why I pulled back on it. So the Ray documentary covered the Paraguayo death. I think that was necessary. I think that was just like the Lex Luger had to cover the Elizabeth stuff. You know, if you're going to cover certain people, you know, I mean, it would be interesting. You think they would cover what happened to Great Khali? You know, for anybody that doesn't know that story, look up the Great Khali. What was the name of the kid? Brian Ong? Was that the name? Brian Ong? I haven't thought of that name in 20-something years, so I could be wrong. But maybe someone in the chat could clarify that. Was it Brian Ong, O-N-G? Was that the name of the kid that died because of the Great Khali? I think it might have been. Maybe it wasn't, but, you know, I wonder if they would cover that if they ever did a documentary. So, all right. Dominic Valente is still alive. Dominic Valente, as far as I heard, he's still doing a wrestling hotline. I don't know the number offhand, but I hear that he's alive and well. And I like Dominic. I mean, if any of you out there ever talk to Dominic, please send my regards. You know, I know back in the Minority Report days, I used to haze him a lot. You know, we used to, you know, have some issues here and there. But, you know, he was the one that influenced me to start doing this stuff. You know, he really was. So I give him all the credit in the world. I mean, you know, for a little while we had some, you know, heated competition. And then we had assholes that were trying to troll all of us, trying to spark fights, that Nick Nazi guy and Dave the Genetic Freak and some others. You know, that's old hotline drama stuff. Put it this way. If you remember recently that Bill Bahati, Sean Ross Sapp stuff, that's nothing compared to some of the shit that went down back then. Because there was some crazy shit being thrown at people. Wild shit. I'm not downplaying, you know, the heat between Bahati and Sapp. You know, some of the things that Bahati said. You know, I like his shows and everything, but I don't condone anything that he had said in those situations. I cannot take his side at all with that. But, man, some of the shit back then, that got wild. That got wild. One day, on another show, I'll tell you some of the other backstage stuff. It is pretty weird shit, man. You know, to the point when I was still, put it this way, when I was still living with my parents and I was in my mid-20s, there was one point where my home telephone number started getting prank calls at 4:30 in the morning, waking up my parents, people threatening to kill me, threatening to kill my family, one after the other. That I called Dominic and left on his voicemail, if you don't pull my phone number down. It's a long story, but I said, he put my phone number on his hotline and everybody started calling 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I told him, you don't pull that shit down, I'm going to go to the fucking cops and I'm going to fine you and then the cops are going to have to look for me. And he took it down and we cleared everything up, but shit got crazy back then. Crazy. I deserved some of it, but some of the shit I didn't. All right, Steve Barbie is hanging out. My opinion on what's going on in AEW behind the scenes. Who do I see leaving the company when their contract is up? I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. And that's not a cop-out. It's who WWE is interested in bringing in. I see Ruby Soho going back to WWE. I see FTR going back to WWE. I see some of the wrestlers that do get TV time that we question. I don't want to name any specific. I don't think WWE has interest in a lot of them. I think WWE will make a play for Wardlow when the time comes. And I will say this. I think some people that leave AEW, I want to make this clear. I don't think anybody will leave thinking they're leaving a sinking ship. I think that just the opportunity to grow, get a little more opportunity to be on TV, and get an opportunity to work with friends and some people that they maybe didn't get a chance to work or maybe have a chance to work. I think there's different reasons. I think they'll get a point where Tony Khan will have to let some people go because he doesn't want to get in the bidding war with a $1 billion publicly traded company because WWE can afford to overpay. And sure, Tony Khan could overpay too. But what happens when you start overpaying people and then you use them once a month? I think Tony Khan even himself will realize if I'm going to buy a, you know, $10,000 video game, I better use it more than once a month. You know, you don't want to buy things simply so someone else doesn't get to use it. That will be Tony Khan's biggest mistake, and I've said that before. I think Jericho will ultimately come back. Absolutely. There's plenty of people. I think the list of people who will not go to WWE, that list will be small. Bryan Danielson will go back to WWE one day. I think the wrestlers that don't go to WWE are the ones that just don't like WWE, don't like the machine, don't want that work schedule. You know, I want to make it clear, there's no guarantee that Adam Cole or Kyle O'Reilly or Bobby Fish would go running back to WWE. I know what you're going to say, well, Triple H is running out, but listen, some wrestlers don't want that grind. You work part-time, you get to game a little bit, you get to stay home, you get to sleep in your bed. You get to work a little bit here and there. For some people, that's the balance that they need. So that comes into play. Not every person is going to want to go back to WWE simply because Triple H is in charge. There's more than just working the full-time WWE schedule. That's why it's so hard to predict on a lot of people. I think Christian goes back to WWE. Absolutely. I think with Christian, out of everybody, I think there was so much uncertainty with Christian. WWE didn't have room for Christian at the time. We were in COVID. There were no live fans in attendance. And I think with Christian coming back, I think there was so much unknown as far as how far Christian could go. We saw Edge and what he could do. But I think right now, oh man, I think Christian and Edge reuniting as a tag team could be bigger than what the Hardys were when they went back to WWE. Remember when the Hardys, the Broken Hardys, left TNA, Impact Wrestling? They went to WWE. I think Christian and Edge could do five times more. So there's a lot of people I could see going. But I don't think they're leaving a sinking ship. I think you will see some others leave WWE and go to AEW because they think they may get a better opportunity to showcase what they got. I know it sounds a little crazy, but you know, you hit the right chords with AEW and you might get some opportunity. Look at Swerve and Keith Lee. I love Keith Lee. You look at Keith Lee's matches. They're a fraction of what they were in NXT. It's not even close. But understand, Keith Lee may never be 100% again because of what happened last year. He might be dealing with long COVID. Maybe not severe. We don't know. But his career right now is much more watered down, and he's able to handle it. So, you know, and he's getting an opportunity. But I also feel FTR should be the AEW tag champs right now, especially since they have three other sets of belts. I don't know what Jeff Jarrett's going to do. I think they tried him out for the live events. I think it just wasn't something that, you know, he really had his heart into. I don't think there was any controversy behind it. And Road Dogg took the spot. Road Dogg, very happy for him. We just had that conversation a week or two ago where I said I will always appreciate someone who has the balls to say publicly, yeah, I do want to work for this company or that company, you know. That's why I always praise even some podcasters out there that want to work for AEW, that want to work for WWE or another company. They go out and say it. Yeah, they do want to work. Some people, you know, oh, no. But they really do at the end of the day. Some people have the balls to say it. Yeah, my goal is to go to WWE or AEW. So I will always praise someone who, and Road Dogg made it clear that he wants to get back into the game, and he got it. Good for him. You want people like that. You want people like Road Dogg working for your company. All right. So just a reminder once again, this Friday, 10 o'clock, I will be live for the Don Tony Show. We will do an abbreviated show because obviously the next day I will be getting married. I'm not just saying that to try to like rub it in people's face. I just want to remind people because I don't want anybody to be surprised that, you know, we're not doing a show next Saturday, next Sunday. But I will be here Friday at 10:05. We will definitely do predictions for Clash at the Castle. I'm going to have some predictions that are going to definitely be against a lot of you out there, but we will do that. Now, as far as All Out predictions, I plan on doing it Wednesday night because I don't see, you know, AEW is going to add one, two matches at the last minute. They're going to do that. But I think there's enough matches on the table that we can do predictions on Wednesday. So for people that were asking about All Out, I will be doing predictions on Wednesday night. I just got this before we go off. Thank you, Dithronic. 78 for the 5 spot, my friend. He thinks Punk's foot injured is the work for his heel turn. He turned his heel to turn heel. I got to get that sound effect into the mixer. He's going to blame fans even though he jumped into the crowd himself. I know Meltzer is reporting that CM Punk versus Jon Moxley is still the main event scheduled for All Out. I'll say this. Now, I know some of you will probably tune into this show after Wednesday's Dynamite, the 31st. I'll say this. They're in Chicago. CM Punk has to be there. Maybe CM Punk gets involved. Maybe he's not in the match. Maybe someone else challenges Moxley. And maybe CM Punk causes the match for someone. I don't know. I don't know what Tony Khan has up his sleeve right now. One thing I do know for sure is they're in Chicago. People more than likely want to see CM Punk more than anybody else in Chicago. What CM Punk does in Chicago is the big question. So I think by Wednesday we will have clarity. I think we will know if CM Punk, you know, maybe he tapes his ankle up and he demands his rematch that he's fighting in Chicago, and maybe we get the rematch, and maybe Moxley gets baited into a trap. Maybe CM Punk cannot go, but maybe CM Punk vows that he'll be there. I don't know. But I don't see CM Punk turning heel in Chicago. That would be almost impossible. First of all, how could he turn heel in Chicago? If he turns heel against the fans, Chicago will praise it. So Chicago's turning on the fans also. Even if CM Punk told Chicago to piss off, I don't see CM Punk doing that. I don't see CM Punk turning heel and shitting on Chicago. So if what went down this past Wednesday was in Chicago, that's different. Then he could say, my hometown turned on me also. So one thing you will know, CM Punk will be a major factor at All Out. He has to be. So we'll see what happens. But if he turns heel, I don't know how you pull it off on Sunday. I think it's impossible. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. And we'll see what happens with MJF. See what happens with if MJF returns and aligns with CM Punk, I think the fans in Chicago would still cheer. I think Chicago would love would love MJF more than other states. If you think about it, see, you know, Chicago goes against the grain, just like New York goes against the grain. The New York-Chicago connection, I could see that. New York-Chicago, fans are similar, very rabid fan base. So I hope it's good. Whatever they do, I hope it's good. So, all right, I am out of here. Chris, I have no updates of House of Glory. I'm here with all of you. You know, I don't have any updates at all. So you go to houseofglory.com. I'm sure that there's updates. I'm sure there's people online. I've been here talking to everybody here. So, you know, a shout out to Jason and JD who are killing it probably on commentary. So, yes, Gruss, Chicago is to CM Punk like Canada is to Bret Hart. Absolutely. Yeah. A great comparison. And what MJF is to Long Island. You know, MJF, you know, tremendously over in Long Island. And kudos for AEW for not trying to turn MJF against Long Island. So, all right, I'm out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's show, what did we say earlier? Did I say pile? Oh, wait, chop. Chop that thumbs up. We're going to do something from now on. Mikey Ravello gave me this idea. I like it. I yesterday I said pile drive that like button. Tonight we use chop that like button. He said, little challenge for me for the next year. Every time I ask you all to hit the like button, he says, use a different wrestling move. You know, you can't use it twice. So we already said, you know, hit that like button. Then we said pile drive that like button. Now I said chop that like button. So every time I ask you on a show, there'll be a different wrestling move. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, chop that like button. If you know anyone else out there that you think might enjoy the channel, let them know about it. You know, we ain't going nowhere. We're having a great time. Make sure you support Blue Wire for my audio side of things because not everybody wants to see my ugly face during the shows. If you like the video, go to Pro Wrestling TV. All my shows are there. And you got JD that's now aboard. And you got lots of in-ring wrestling. There is so much content there. And guess what? Right now, that channel is free. Everything to your enjoyment for free. And I know a lot of you out there support Pro Wrestling TV already. I am very, very proud to be on Blue Wire and Pro Wrestling TV. If you would have said that to me at the beginning of 2022, that I would have offers to be on those networks, I would have said, who did I have to sweet talk, to say it nicely? Who'd I have to give a hand job to? Who'd I have to bribe? Whose ass did I have to kiss? You know? So I love it. Yes, the man of 1,000 moves. Yes. Yes, no, we're not Canadian destroying that like button yet. When we have a gigantic, insanely huge audience, unbelievably gigantic, then we'll use major moves like that. 450 onto that. So, yes, Blue Wire Pro Wrestling TV. It's awesome. Much love, everyone. I'm out of here. I'll talk to you all Monday night after Raw. It's going to be a good show. Kurt Angle's going to be there. New women's tag champs. Johnny Gargano. Theory. Furthering that feud a little bit. We got Bobby Lashley versus The Miz again. You know, we got a few other things going. Riddle and Sean. Seth Rollins is going to have a little face-to-face. Sami Zayn and the Usos will be on Raw as well. So let's see what goes down. Join me at 11:05 tomorrow. I am out of here. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.